The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, it's been an eventful week. We have an announcement from Gaza that Qatari money will be distributed today to 100,000 Gazan families. $100 each is what they are entitled to get. They will receive an SMS, and they are being told that they're going to be getting 310 shekels for their $100. The little trick is, of course, that if I look at the exchange rate today, it says 3 shekels 46 to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to do my sums, it would say 346 shekels, not 310 shekels that they are being told they get. There's a shortfall somewhere of 35 shekels for each family.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
It's more than 10% of what they're going to be getting, that they're actually being shortchanged. 35 shekels for each family. So, I'll leave all of you to decide how that's actually working. And there was the story about in the media that came out about a Palestinian who apparently was stabbed to death by settlers while cultivating his land. That was the storyline that went out to the public. Below the radar, Hamas have said, this is one of our men. So that piece doesn't go out to the media. This is apparently a Hamas operative who apparently was innocently cultivating his land when stabbed to death by Israeli settlers. Again, I will leave all of you to come to your own conclusions about that.
Absolutely. Prime Minister Bennett announced his intention to oppose a proposal to prevent a criminal defendant from serving as a prime minister. Tell us about this.
Yes, so this is a proposal that is being marshaled through the Knesset, even potentially before the Knesset dissolves. The first reading has already gone through, went through yesterday to dissolve the Knesset. We expect that the Knesset ultimately will be dissolved on Monday. There are some tactics to try to delay the dissolution of the Knesset in order to allow the Likud to try to put some sort of a right-wing government together before the Knesset is dissolved. I think that that's highly unlikely. But there is also this bill which says that anybody who is undergoing criminal charges, who's being accused of criminal charges, will not be allowed to form a government, will not be able to be prime minister. Of course, this could very much affect former Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is trying at the moment to put a government together, who could potentially be asked to put together a coalition government at the end of the election process, which is likely to come out to the end of October, November time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a bill that's being sponsored by some of the left-wing parties who are obviously bringing this in order to particularly address the Netanyahu situation. Interestingly, Naftali Bennett says that even though these parties that are bringing this bill are members of my coalition right now, I am not going to support this particular bill. And again, he is doing what he thinks is right for democracy, because what he says is he thinks that that decision should be left to the public to decide and should not be on the statute books. It should not be a law. So what he's saying is that if the public feel that as a result of him facing these criminal charges, former Prime Minister Netanyahu is not somebody who should be forming a government, let the public say that in the election, in the vote, in the ballot box, and let's not decide that right now in the Knesset. And I think that this is just another example of what Naftali Bennett has been like and is like as an individual, has been like as a prime minister. He is putting the interests of the country before his own personal interests, because one could argue that if he supported this bill, it really would help his personal cause. It could potentially put him back in the office as prime minister, and it could help his personal cause. But no, he's decided that that's not the way that things work. His own personal interests are being set aside, and he would rather be more democratic rather than really just pursue his own personal interests. Just as an aside, there are quite strong indications that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett may well retire from politics. instead of standing in the next elections.
That
has been mooted as well. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. But I think that this particular action is just a great example of what what sort of Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has been. Interests of the country first, interests of democracy first, even if it means his own personal standing has had to suffer.
And I guess it's good that he didn't ever move to Jerusalem, but that's something completely different. An exercise app used to spy on Israeli soldiers.
Yeah, so this is the exercise app called Strava. Now, I am not a Strava user, mm-hmm. so I will put it out there immediately. But I know that it's a very, very popular exercise app where people register, you know, where they've been running. It maps where they've been running, and it gives all their times, and it creates a lot of competition between people. And apparently Strava now has this thing called heat mapping, where you can actually see how much a certain area has been used and how many people have been running in a certain particular area. And they've also got these sector competitions where, you know, sector times are registered, and you could be, if you run particularly fast at that location, you could go onto the list of all-time greats in terms of that particular sector. The problem is that when the Strava users also happen to be military personnel, then you start to get an idea of where they are at any moment in time, and you start to get a heat map of their movement, where they're running. And when you start putting a few military personnel together, then you start to get an idea of what where movements are, because obviously military people generally like to keep fit and do quite a lot of running. And so it turns out that there are fake profiles that have been using the Strava app in order to potentially spy on military people, particularly Israeli military people, but not only Israeli military people, because apparently these heat maps have also picked up U.S. bases outside of the United States, where people obviously have had to run within the base because it's dangerous for them to go outside the base. And so suddenly we get a heat map of the military people who've been running within the base, and you start to kind of get an idea of what this base looks like. And apparently even they've even gone as far as implementing artificial segments. So we understand that artificial segments were located near sites such as Mossad headquarters and near Israeli Air Force bases and near the nuclear reactor in Dimona and near the base that is used to train Israeli officers for the IDF, a base called Bahad-1, which and also the Palmachim base. These apparently are bases which have all appeared on Strava as a result of people running around there and allowing Strava to follow their movements and their exercise routines. And as a result of that, have potentially come up with some security breaches. So it's just amazing how this notion that we have of social media, which has been so positively accepted and people find it so wonderful, has also really got a major hole in it and could potentially expose many, many secrets, particularly some Israeli military secrets. So that's just one of the things that's come up. Apparently, the idea for addressing this particular issue and, of course, issuing instructions to military personnel about the use of social media, including Strava. Who would have thought that Strava would
become
a problematic app?
Amazing. That is so interesting and very, very relevant in today's world, not only about Strava, but in fact, many social media apps that could become problematic. Lebanon has signed an agreement to buy gas from Egypt.
Yes, except that we know that Egypt is not a great producer of gas. And so the question is, what is this gas and where does it come from? And when you start to delve a little bit deeper, you start to understand that this is Israeli gas that is being piped from the gas fields in Israel through a pipeline that already exists to Egypt. And then we understand that there is a pipeline already in existence from Egypt via Jordan to Syria. And so when you start to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, you begin to understand that this is Israeli gas that's being piped via Egypt and Jordan back to Syria so that Lebanon can use the gas. And we understand that, I'm not quite sure if Eskom is operating in Lebanon at the moment, but we understand that there are a few electricity yeah. problems
right.
out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure load shedding has become an export.
We are told that this gas that Lebanon will be buying is going to add something like 4 hours a day of electricity to the Lebanese public. And the supreme irony is that we had Amos Hochstein, who is the U.S. mediator on the border, the maritime border issue. We discussed him last week. He sounds like he's Israeli, but he's actually the U.S. mediator who's been accepted by the Lebanese government to mediate on the issue of the maritime borders. He came out, ran out to Lebanon last week in order to mediate this particular issue. When I discussed it with you, we didn't really understand what there was such a big hoo-ha about, because it seemed to be a real shoe-in in terms of what the obvious compromise would be in terms of mediating that land border, the maritime border. But it seems as though Amos Hochstein may well have been involved in also getting involved in putting this particular gas deal together that takes Israeli gas through Egypt and then back to Lebanon again. So it seems that they're behind the scenes, this is perhaps what he was doing. And here is the supreme irony. The supreme irony is that by Lebanon giving up on that particular gas field that they laid claim to, the Karish gas field, which Israel is already exploiting, and apparently since the mediation last week has already got another British ship has come in there in order to begin the work of exploiting the northern part of that gas field. And the Lebanese, as a result of giving up on that to the Israelis, have actually managed to secure themselves gas because Israel is able to exploit that, something that the Lebanese government at the moment is unable to do. So Israel is exploiting that gas field even more than the Lebanese would have liked. And now the Lebanese are getting gas as a result of that, all the way around the houses, via Egypt, via Jordan, via Syria, back to Lebanon. And they will be enjoying 4 hours more of electricity every day as a result of that mediation effort, as a result of Lebanon effectively giving up on the gas field. They actually going to be gaining around the houses.
Really, really fascinating that how this has developed. Jared Kushner has been seen at the Western Wall, so he's in Israel at the moment.
He is in Israel at the moment, and there were reports that he was seen on a flight from Miami, on an LL flight from Miami with Ivanka and their children coming to visit Israel, and further pictures of that showed them yesterday at the Western Wall. Ivanka on the ladies' side, Jared and his children on the men's side of the Western Wall, both of them having some spiritual moments. But it was interesting that they were tracked already leaving Miami to come to Israel on that LL flight, so we knew that they were on their way. Jared, of course, has been involved with this fund that has been put together, the Affinity Fund, which is apparently valued at $3 billion US dollars. And we are told that out of that $3 billion that has been raised, that has been committed to the fund, something like $2 billion comes from the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund that is committed to Jared and his fund. And that money is going to be used, amongst other things, to buy into Israeli companies. And he has already apparently identified two or three Israeli companies who will benefit from that money and who will enjoy an investment by Affinity Partners, which is, of course, the Jared Kushner Fund. And so all of this seems to have been coming together. I'm not quite sure whether Jared is here for business or for holiday purposes, but there is no doubt that Ivanka and the children at least will be able to enjoy some beach time and will be able to enjoy some in good Israeli weather as we head into the summer season.
And speaking about travel, Saudi Crown Prince has been on a tour of the Middle East prior to his meeting with President Joe Biden.
Yeah, so first of all, talking about Joe Biden's trip to the Middle East, we understand that stand-in Prime Minister Yair Lapid is readying himself for the visit by President Joe Biden. Joe Biden wanted to initially delayed his trip to the Middle East in order not to walk into an Israeli election situation, but he's done exactly that by delaying the trip. And so it will be incoming prime minister, we expect who will be prime minister by the time President Joe Biden makes it to Israel in a couple of weeks. But of course, he will also go off to Saudi Arabia. Now, it is highly controversial for President Joe Biden to be going to Saudi Arabia and indeed to be meeting with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who effectively is currently the leader of Saudi Arabia because his father, the King of Saudi Arabia, is unfortunately incapacitated. And so MBS, as people like to call him, is de facto the leader of Saudi Arabia. And he is very much associated with the story of the murder of that Saudi journalist in Turkey, Jamal Khashoggi. He has apparently been fingered as the guy who actually gave the instructions to take Khashoggi out in Turkey. And of course, he became a persona non grata in Turkey, and he became very much acceptable to the US administration as well. Now, a year or two later, we see the Saudi Crown Prince, persona non grata previously in Turkey, arriving in Turkey with an official welcome with President Erdogan on hand at the airport to welcome him, official anthems being played. So he has been very much given the royal treatment as he arrived in Turkey in spite of all of that history. It all seems to have been forgotten now that President Joe Biden will be visiting Saudi Arabia. Of course, Joe Biden was asked whether he would be meeting with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and he said no, he will be going to Saudi Arabia to host a meeting of leaders of Arab countries, one of whom will be Mohammed bin Salman, but he won't be meeting with Mohammed bin Salman as such, which sounds a little bit like a roundabout way of saying he will be meeting with Mohammed bin Salman, but he doesn't want to say so loudly in case, to the international press. But of course, MBS is now doing the rounds. He's been to Jordan. He's met with the King of Jordan. He's been presented with the highest Jordanian honor available to civilian people, and that was presented to him yesterday by the King of Jordan. He's also been in Turkey, and of course he will return to Saudi Arabia to get ready not only for the upcoming Hajj, which of course is coming up with Eid al-Adha, the Muslim festival, but of course to get ready for the visit of President Joe Biden.
Anthony Rach, it is 8:01. Thank you as always. Thanks for a great week of reporting. We'll catch you on Monday morning at 7:45. Wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.